First things first, a driver, a man gets his car stolen from him, carjacked, and then the carjacker ran him over. This is in Chicago. Check it out.
We begin with a CBS News Chicago exclusive. A food delivery driver recovering after a carjacking on the job.
When he tried to stop the thieves, they used his own car as a weapon. Our Andrew Ramos spoke with the victim and his wife about their ordeal.
Duermo con dolor, me paro con dolor.
His injuries have left Jaybed Gonzalez bedridden. While the pain is excruciating, he tells me it's overwhelming sadness that keeps him up at night. Gonzalez is an Uber Eats driver, a gig he's had for about a year that helps to support his family, including his one-month-old daughter, Emma. It was last Monday, July 29th, when he was making his final delivery of the night in the 900 block of West 19th Street in Pilsen, when he left his vehicle running as he made the drop-off.
Veo que se acerca un carro.
Grave mistake, buddy. Grave mistake. Let me tell you something. I don't even leave the car running when I'm vlogging right in front of it, sitting on top of it. Let me say that again for the people in the back. I don't even leave my car running when I'm next to the car. When I get out the car, the keys come out with it, the car turns off, the whole nine yards, push button to start, all of that. I do not, under any circumstance, advise people to leave the car running. Grave mistake. And it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be, but you got to be able to recognize the environment that you're in.
He says he saw a vehicle pull up to the side of his car when a man got out and
hopped
into his
red
Hyundai Elantra, thinking about how it was his only...
Let me say this also. How are these people inside of the United States of America operating and they don't speak no English? I don't understand that. Even when you go down to Miami, which I understand Miami, Cocaina, and bro, you can go into certain segments of Miami and they don't speak no English whatsoever. They are 100% Spanish. I don't understand that. That is weird to me. How is that possible? Anyways, let's get to it.
Way to make money. Gonzalez quickly reacted, running toward the car and jumping on the hood.
Y esta persona empieza a acelerar durísimo.
The offender, he says, accelerated and took off while Gonzalez screamed for him to stop. When the man stopped, Gonzalez fell to the pavement. That's when the carjacker struck him with his own car.
So he stopped, he flew off the car, and then he took off and he was like,
shattering his right ankle.
Crazy.
Surveillance footage obtained by CBS News Chicago shows the Hyundai Elantra speed away from the scene. Moments later, cell phone video shows Gonzalez's wife and sister arrive as he is placed into an ambulance.
Look at her going crazy. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. He ain't lose his life. At least he got his life. Don't worry about it, baby. Hey, hold on. And these women, y'all need to calm down. Don't y'all know that when y'all show up and y'all hysterical, and y'all losing y'all mind and y'all interrupting the EMS and the police officers from being able to do their job, don't y'all know that y'all make things worse? There's nothing worse than a hysterical woman. Dog, if I ever get into a situation or a problem, I'ma just wait till I get out the hospital and then I'ma call a woman and be like, hey, listen, this is what happened. So that when they go crazy, I'ma be like, oh no, I'm already all right. I'm out of the hospital. Why you ain't call me? Because you hysterical and you can't control yourself. They be screaming and jumping up and down and falling out and fainting and all of that stuff. Dog, you making the situation worse. You're interrupting the EMS from being able to effectively do their job and save my life. Calm down. Ladies, fellas, and when y'all get into a situation and you in Chicago and you getting carjacked because you left your car running, don't call a woman when you get your ankle shattered and ran over because she gonna go crazy.
He's the one that would take care of us physically, emotionally, mentally, financially.
His wife Shay is about to start a new job, and now that Gonzalez can't walk on his own and has no car, the family is left in limbo with limited income as they already have their hands full with a newborn. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help them in the meantime.
Esto no se le hace a nadie.
And the message for those who did this, may God forgive you, he says.
Hey, no, listen. Nowadays, in 2024, forgiveness is out the window. Let me say something. You can't be forgiven if you don't ask for forgiveness. That's the part of the Bible that they didn't tell you about. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Let me move my mic up. We so quick to forgive, but they not asking for forgiveness. I can't forgive you if you're not sorry about it. Now, I know that we pray this, and this is not the part that the preacher ain't going to teach you, but I'm going to teach you this because this is the additional context. You can't be forgiven if you haven't asked for forgiveness and you're not sorry about what you did to me. Now, I am required, because if I want to be forgiven according to how I forgive people, then, you know, I want that grace on my life. But you can't be forgiven if you ain't sorry about it. If you still riding around in my car and I can't feed my family and I got a shattered ankle and I got a newborn baby and I was trying to take care of my business, I can't sit here and offer you grace and mercy when you still joyriding in my car. We just a little, honestly, we just a little too forgiving for my taste. I didn't read the part where they actually asked for forgiveness part. In order to be forgiven, you actually got to be sorry. You got to be sincere in what it is that you do that you did wrong. You got to make that right. Absolutely, I'll forgive you if you're going about having changed behavior and you actually sorry. Because the best form of being sorry is to do things differently. So I can extend grace, especially if I want to be forgiven according to how I forgive other people. That's what forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors mean. But let's be clear. You gonna have to ask for it. But if you still out here robbing people, I can't forgive you for something. I'm not a precog. This ain't Minority Report, big dog. I believe in vigilante justice and forgiveness according to how you ask for forgiveness and change behavior. But I'm not just gonna be sitting out here giving out random forgiveness cards. That ain't how this working no more. We not doing that no more. In order for you to be forgiven, you're gonna have to understand that you did something wrong. In addition to that, shout out to him, and I hope everything goes right. Migrants are suing Home Depot over in Chicago, saying that they were abused while seeking work. Check it out.
A federal lawsuit filed today on behalf of Venezuelan migrants trying to find work in Chicago.
It alleges physical abuse at the hands of security guards at retail giant Home Depot. Casey Cron is live shout with details. Truckers. Casey.
John and Scott, the allegations date back to last October. Five migrants say they were physically assaulted in a back room of the Home Depot located at 47th and Western. In addition to the retailer, the city of Chicago and several Chicago police officers are being sued because the lawsuit claims that some of the security guards were off-duty CPD officers working a second job.
There's nothing illegal about seeking out work as day laborers, and that's why what happened to them is very egregious, and we're hoping to end it.
Like many other home improvement stores across the city and suburbs,
day labor work is as old as the city of Chicago.
It's common to see new arrivals who are looking for work wait near the exit of this back of the yards Home Depot. But
for those of y'all that's not familiar, I know my ladies, the only women that I see going to Home Depot is those that's trying to get picked up by a guy that's out here fixing up his home. See, that's the finesse. A lot of y'all may not be familiar with that. The older ladies know, if you want to go and get you a man, go to Home Depot, go to the plumbing aisle, look like a woman in distress, because it's a whole lot of stuff. And why is Anton recommending the plumbing aisle? Because it makes it seem like you're really under duress. One of my overnight jobs that I had, I always had a second job or a third job, especially after the 2008 crisis, and my hustle has been superior, okay? And one of my overnight jobs was working at Home Depot. Yep. I would do whatever my regular job is, go to my sales job. I would, you know, study in the daytime and all of that stuff. And then overnight, I would stock shelves. And because when I first got into Home Depot, I think I worked there for like a year or something like that. When I first got into Home Depot and I was an overnight stocker, this is a new story for y'all. Some of y'all may not be familiar with this. The first aisle that they stick you in is plumbing. And plumbing is quite possibly the worst aisle because basically, you know, you got to restock the shelves. You got to do all of the returns and all of this stuff. And plumbing is the worst aisle for you to be in, right? And the reason that they always suck the new guy in plumbing is because A, it's a million different pipes that look the exact freaking same. It's a million different plastic and metal pipes. and copper pipes that look the exact freaking same. You can spend an hour, if you don't know what you're doing, trying to find one little piece to go in this particular aisle. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But I learned to appreciate it because I learned a lot about plumbing simply because I had to work it, right? I had to work it. And on top of that, all of the returns, people would be returning trash product. So they'd go out there and put in the part, or, you know, it'd be some dirty part or something like that. And then in order for Home Depot to try to save money, they trying to put that part back in the aisle or something like that. It was the worst ever. But when you walk over there, ladies, and you go into the return aisle or you go into the plumbing aisle, you're more likely to get help because it seems like you really don't know what you're doing because you're in an aisle where it's 1,000 different parts and you really don't know what you're doing. All right, that's finesse for y'all. But that's not what the point is of this story. The point of this story is, it is, if you go to any Home Depot in most major cities or in the suburbs, more than likely you can find you a day laborer or you can find you an illegal migrant that's looking to get paid under the table or people standing around looking to get picked up so they can do some work for you. And they willing to get in the back of the truck and ride out, especially down here in Texas. And they be waiting on somebody to come up there and give them a job and give them an opportunity to make some money. So they stand around in the exit. So they stand around the parts of the Home Depot and they looking to get some money and get an opportunity to get some work done. So this is what this is. Okay.
A new lawsuit filed in federal court on behalf of the Latino Union of Chicago and five migrants alleges mistreatment, abuse, and a violation of their rights by on-site security. One man, the suit states, was punched in the stomach, kicked in the knee, and thrown to the ground. Another migrant struck in the face and ribs.
They were forced into the store, forced into this back room, hit in various places on their bodies, had to listen to xenophobic insults about where they're from.
Jamitra Fullard with the Raise the Floor Alliance says four of her clients are from Venezuela. One is from Colombia.
What should not be happening is these abuses that are happening while they're seeking work.
Jason Keller with the Illinois Department of Labor adds there are also protections for migrants to ensure.
Anton, making connections today. Ladies, stop going to the bar, start going to Home Depot, especially during the daytime.
They aren't being exploited on the job.
We do not look at immigration status when we get a complaint.
And says the public serves as a crucial set of eyes and ears when it comes to labor violations.
If you see something that doesn't seem right, please reach out to us.
Here's the thing. So basically, from a C student's perspective, because they're giving you the news, the PC part. Here's the other part of it. They was trying to figure out, the people in Home Depot was like, or the security was like, hey, y'all got to go. Y'all can't be hanging around here because we security and we telling you, you got to go. Oh, you going to keep coming back? All right, cool. Come on in the back. Let me show you what it is that's happening out here. So that's really how it played out. But basically, they're working under the table. They're not paying taxes. And they trying to make money under your nose and they're not pouring in. And then they going into the migrant shelter that's being funded by Brandon Johnson and his associates and his crooks to continue to run up a bag out there. So that's what's happening in Chicago. And then last but not least, San Francisco is unveiling a new drone program in order to try to stop crime since they can't recruit new police officers. Check it out.
Well, the San Francisco Police Department has a new drone program. Its goal is to fight crime and was made possible thanks to voter-approved Prop E. Here's NBC Bay Area, Sergio Quintana.
Yes, Genesis.
Alone in the intersection, very dangerous.
On July 4th, San Francisco police officers launched one of their newest drones over the Mission at 25th and Treat Streets after reports of fireworks being launched and people doing donuts in the intersection. Officers then used the information it provided to mobilize a ground team of officers and break it up.
So we're going to start moving this out. We got the momentum now. Let's roll.
It's one of several examples Police Chief Bill Scott pointed to today as he looked to help the public understand the new tech his department has and how they use it. He also shared video of this July 27th incident of an SUV burglary in progress. The getaway car being used was detected as being stolen by the...
And that's a normal thing, a normal occurrence. They run around and they look in the windows of your car to see if you got any valuables or if you got any luggage in the back. They bust out your window, steal your luggage, jump out, and there ain't no police officers to chase them down.
Department's plate reader cameras.
Our officers then spotted the vehicle, drone was put into play to track that vehicle, and we were able to then see them committing even more crimes, and we were able to apprehend them.
Officers used a spike strip to disable the car and ultimately made arrests. District Attorney Brooke Jenkins says the video officers' capture of these incidents and arrests is also key to filing charges and ultimately getting convictions.
As a trial lawyer, I tell you, jurors in 2024 expect to see what happened. They don't just want to be told by a police officer what they saw or what their perspective is.
Defense Attorney John Hamasaki and former member of the police commission says while the tech may seem great, using drones can raise some civil liberties concerns.
An example of that would be the use of drones to monitor protests or other First Amendment activity.
There we go. Listen, San Francisco needs all of the help that it can get. San Francisco needs all the help it can get. We not worried about your civil liberties. Do y'all want crime to stop or not? Oh my God, it can stop the protests. It can stop your civil liberties. We don't want drunk. Listen, it's coming. Technology gonna be all over y'all cities. Cameras is gonna be capturing everything that y'all do. They can already figure out exactly where you've been based off of your cell phone towers and where you walking around with your Apple Watch and your phone and your iPads and your rings and all of this stuff. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. They already got shortages of police officers, and they're solving for it with technology.
He did applaud the department's policy of purging any video from a large group event that the department monitors as part of a safety surveillance operation. Unlike many big cities in the U.S., San Francisco hasn't had a helicopter support division of the police department for more than 20 years. So the police chief says this drone program fills a very big need for the department. Chief Scott says the new drone program is also safer and less expensive than other departments' helicopter divisions.
You're not investing nearly as much in the equipment. You're talking about, you know, a few thousand dollars, if that, as opposed to, you know, seven figures or more for a helicopter.
Right now, SFPD has six drones and is planning on getting more. In San Francisco, Sergio Quintana, NBC Bay Area.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your quick hits.